Morning, everyone. We'll commence our time of worship by singing together the Psalm number 34, the Psalm number 34 on the page number 30 of your hymn book, just verses 1 to 7 of the Psalm. God will I bless all times his praise. My mouth shall still express, my soul shall boast in God, the meek shall hear with joyfulness. The Psalm number 34, reminding us of God's goodness and blessing to his people, to his church. And we're singing verses 1 to 7, standing as we sing. Stand as we sing. Hearts together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, we do gather, Lord, afresh before thee the Sabbath morning. We come through the name of thy Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the only mediator between God and men. And Father, we thank thee today afresh for the loveliness of Christ. We thank thee, Father, that he did no sin, that he knew no sin. He is indeed the altogether lovely one. Thy word describes him as the one who is harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Yet, O God, we thank thee that he came into this world to be our sin bearer. We realize, O God, that as our substitute, he went to the cross of Calvary. And there he laid down his life, a ransom for the many. And Father, we thank that he took upon himself the wrath of God that was our due, that we deserve for our sins, Lord, that was laid upon Christ. Thy word says the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Father, we thank thee today for one who shed his blood for our redemption. Father, we thank thee that he triumphed over death, though he was buried, that he rose again the third day, and that he is alive forevermore, never to die again. And Father, we thank thee today for the great hope that we have in Christ our Redeemer. We thank thee, Father, that we have one praying for his people at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And Father, we thank thee today that we are accepted in the Beloved and that we can call thee Abba, our Father. And Father, we thank thee, Father, for the words of this psalm of which you have been singing, how thy word declares that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. How the psalmist could say, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Father, we thank thee that thou art one who hears and answers prayer. How the psalmist could say, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And Father, we just thank thee for thy mercies that finds us here today in the house of the Lord to praise thee and to worship thee. And Father, we pray that thou would just bless our coming together here today. We pray for a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence and the nearness of the Lord. We pray from this opening psalm to the final amen that thou wilt abide with us here today. Shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood of the Lamb. Close out every distracting thought and care that is not of thee. And Father, we pray that in all that is said and done in this pulpit today, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified. And Father, we thank you for all who've been able to gather with us here today. As our faces differ, so do our needs. We thank you for every child of God. Bless your people. Strengthen thy people in the ways of God. Draw us each one closer, Lord, to thee. Help us to die more and more to self, to sin, and to the ways of this ungodly world. Help us to be conformed more and more to the image of Christ, our Redeemer. And Lord, for those going through times of trial and great need, may they know the help of God, the wisdom of God, the strength of God. We thank thee that thou art the rock and the refuge of thy people. And for others, Lord, that are cast down today, lift them up. And others, Lord, that have gone through times of mourning in recent times, Lord, do comfort their hearts, we pray. And Lord, for any who may be cold at heart today, may they know thy restoring touch and grace, we ask. And Father, for any with us today, unsaved, unconverted, do speak to them. And Father, we pray that by thy Spirit and power and grace, they would come to know Christ today, to trust him, to rest upon him alone for salvation. Father, we thank thee for every family represented here with us today. Bless all our homes and all our respective families and family circles. Do unite them all in the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask of thee. Remember any who cannot be with us today because of age, sickness, or infirmity. Others who may be away today, Lord, with other family members and friends. Bless them and minister to them. And may they know the touch and the grace of God upon them. Father, we thank thee for our Sunday school this morning. Remember all the children's meetings in the week that has gone by. Bless thy word to all the children, we pray. Early in life, each one of them, seek thee and trust thee. Grow up to serve thee. Again, we thank thee for thy going forth of the word of God and the open air and Friday morning pass in Enniskillen town. For those that received the printed page and those that heard the word of God as they passed by, Lord, do speak on to their hearts. And may through that witness souls come to know the Lord as Savior. Again, Lord, we thank thee for the mission over this past fortnight. We thank thee for a blessing in a mighty way night by night. We thank thee, Father, for thy presence, for answered prayer, for the many that thou hast brought in under the sound of thy word. And Lord, we thank that thou hast promised that thy word will not return unto thee void. We think especially even of the final meeting this afternoon. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt gather the people, and especially the unsaved, Lord, maybe those that have been invited that have not yet come, we pray. Even bring them out this afternoon and save them by the grace and power of God divine. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt impress upon men and women and young people and boys and girls of their great need to heed the gospel call and to come to Christ for salvation. Bless our land, O God, today. Remember all our sister congregations. Remember wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed. We pray for the blessing of God to be upon it, we pray. We do pray for our missionaries today, O God, that thou would bless them, O God, we ask. Keep them safe. Give them health and strength and minister to their needs, O God, we pray. We pray for thy persecuted people today, Lord. Watch over them and bless them and protect them and bless their witness. We pray especially, Lord, for the land of Israel and Ukraine, the witness of thy people there. Grant thy protecting hand upon them and bring to naught the works of the evildoer and the aggressor, we ask of thee. Father, we pray for our land and for our nation. We pray for revival. We pray, Lord, for days of reformation here in our land and nation. Remember our king and the royal family. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. We pray for them that the light of thy truth, the light of the gospel, would shine into their homes and into their hearts, that they would be made wise unto salvation. And for those that rule in our land and in our nation, we pray especially that thou would speak to them Lord, that they might realize their responsibility to rule in accordance with thy word. And those that would profess thy name, give them grace and strength to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. And those in government who know thee not, speak to them. We thank the Lord that thou hast said the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and thou can turn it whatsoever way thou doth please, and be pleased to save them. Turn our land toward thee, we pray. Grant us an awakening again across our land and our nation. Again, Lord, we think of our mothers today in this Mothering Sunday. We thank thee for those that are still with us in life in the scene of time. And Father, we pray that thou wilt bless them and that thou wilt minister to their needs. And for any, Lord, today that have still mothers unsaved, we pray especially, Lord, for them that thou wilt speak to them today and that thou wilt save them by the grace and by the power of God. Help us to be thankful. Help us to be mindful of the help and the blessing of others to us in our life, we pray. And help us, O God, we ask of thee, Lord, to do good unto others as others have done good unto us, that we might show forth the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Bless us now, we pray of thee, as we continue on before thee in the attitude of worship. Exalt and magnify thy name amongst us today, we pray. Bless every waiting heart, for we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks. Amen. We're going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 16 in your hymn book, the hymn number 16 on the page 181. Abba, Father, we approach thee in our Savior's precious name. We, thy children, here assembling now the promised blessing claim. The hymn number 16 on the page 181. We'll stand as we sing. As we sing. have your Bible with you today, we'd ask you to turn to the New Testament book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, beginning a reading at the verse number 37 of that chapter, and then also turning back to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 3, and one verse from that chapter, it is the verse number 6. But we're reading first of all from Acts in the New Testament, Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 37, and then moving back from there after that to Nehemiah chapter 3, if you'd like to just mark both those passages of Scripture in your Bible this morning. Acts chapter 2, beginning a reading at the verse number 37. Let us hear God's word as we read it together. Acts chapter 2, verse number 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And then turning back to Nehemiah chapter number 3, in just one verse, it's the verse number 6 of Nehemiah chapter 3. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehudi, the son of Pasiah, and Meshulam, the son of Besodiah. They laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Amen. We'll end our reading there at that verse 6. We pray that the Lord will add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, this Lord's Day, it's good to see all who have gathered in. We give you all a very special and warm word of welcome. This morning, if you're visiting with us, we trust that you'll feel at home. You know the Lord's blessing as you fellowship with us today around God's word. Nice to see David with us today as well this morning. And we trust the Lord will bless you as you catch up with family and friends over this time of being home here in County Fermanagh again. But welcome all this morning, and to those that are viewing online as well, we thank you for joining with us and pray God will bless you today around God's word. Announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember, please, the final meeting of the mission this afternoon in Lisbalaw, Orange Hall at 3:30. And then the time of prayer beforehand at 3 p.m. Do pray for that meeting, that final meeting. Do all you can to attend this afternoon, and not only come yourself, but invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Maybe there's somebody that you've asked and haven't yet come. Well, do what you can even to encourage them to come along on this final meeting of the mission. So do remember that mission concludes this afternoon at 3:30. Encourage as many as possible to gather. Tomorrow night here in the church at 8 p.m. is the monthly ladies' fellowship meeting. We commend that to all the ladies. And all ladies are welcome, and welcome to bring your friends. And my wife Helen will be speaking at that ladies' fellowship meeting. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., sees the recommencement again of our weekly prayer meeting and Bible study. We'll be long to take that meeting. Trust as many as possible will gather, and then that'll be followed as well just by a meeting of the church committee on Tuesday night. Ask brethren to remember that also, please. Thursday night, 8 p.m., here in the church, there'll be a meeting of the church session. And ask the members of session also to remember that, please. Do you remember the children's meetings each night, 6:30? Tuesday night, Tresna. Wednesday night, Lisbelaw. Thursday night, Maguire's Bridge. Friday night, here in Bethel. And then also Friday night, here at 8 p.m., is the youth fellowship meeting. We commend that to all the young people. Also, this coming Friday night at 8 p.m. in our Dungannon Church, there's a meeting organized by the Free Presbyterian Historical Society. It's the annual lecture, and the speaker there is the Reverend Peter McIntyre, and the subject is 2,000 years of Irish Christianity, and all are most welcome there, so do remember that special meeting there in Dungannon on Friday night. Next Lord's Day, the 17th of March, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service, 7 p.m. Both services preceded by the half hour of prayer. We belong to bring God's precious word. And just draw your attention to a special family and friends night service this night fortnight here in the church. That's the Lord's Day, the 24th of March at 7 p.m. Our sister, Mrs. Julie Omerod, will be with us and to testify of God's saving grace, and not only God's saving grace in her life, but also God's sustaining grace in her life through a time of great difficulty when she lost her husband very suddenly. So do remember that. Pray for that meeting. Make it known. There are wee invitations for that. We encourage you to take those and to give them out to family members and friends and invite them in for that service that Sunday night, the 24th of March at 7 p.m. Can I draw your attention again to the planned baptismal service on Thursday night, the 25th of April, 8 p.m. in Omagh Free Presbyterian Church Hall. Anyone else wishing to go or to be baptized or is concerned about that matter, speak to me, but we'd really like to know the full tally of names really as soon as possible. This coming Saturday night, 8 p.m. in our Clochar Valley Church, there's a youth rally for those that are in the 20 to 30s bracket, and our brother there, Mr. Colin Maxwell, is speaking, and all young people and people in that age bracket are most welcome, so do remember that also. And then as a church, we'd like to express our congratulations to Mr. Stuart Hazard and his wife Naomi Hazard on the birth of a wee baby boy yesterday. And we thank the Lord for his goodness to them. And we pray the Lord will richly bless them with this wee one added to the family. And we rejoice in the Lord's goodness and the gift of a little child. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to hymn number 430. 430. We don't take up an offering, but do remember the offering plates as you leave. It's a wonderful hymn of testimony. All the way my Saviour leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy? Who true life has been my guide? 430. We'll keep our seats while we sing the early part of this hymn.
Yeah.
final verse, please. Turn again to those passages of scripture we read earlier from Nehemiah chapter number 3 and then Acts chapter 2. And with those passages of scripture open before us, let us bow together, please, in a short word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy presence with us already in our gathering this morning. May that sense of Thy divine presence increase amongst us, Lord, as we come now to Thy word. Open our hearts like Lydia of old to attend to Thy word and apply Thy word to our hearts today as Thou would see the need, to the sanctifying, the strengthening of every believer in Christ, to the saving of the sinner, to the glorifying of Thy name. Undertake, fill me with Thy Holy Spirit, be mouth, matter, and wisdom unto us in the preaching of Thy word, and have Thy way in every life as Thou would see the need. We ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Our text of scripture for today consists of two verses. The first one is Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 6, and then over in Acts chapter 2 and the verse number 42. I'll read those two verses with you again. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 6. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, Meshulam, and the son of Bosadiah. And they laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And then turning over to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now it goes without saying that the life of every believer is to be steadfast in the things of God. In the book of Jeremiah, there you have the Lord calling His people to be steadfast in the old paths of God's word. And He says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Also over in the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, God's people there also are encouraged to be steadfast in God's work. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And it goes without saying also that the same mark of steadfastness for God is also highlighted for us here in Nehemiah chapter 3 and the verse number 6, where it says, moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Besadiah, and they laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Here we read of the people in the day of Nehemiah repairing the old gate in the walls of Jerusalem. This gate was situated in the northwestern corner of the walls of Jerusalem. And this name here, the old gate, is very important. It's very significant. For it reminds us that this was one of the first gates ever to be built along the ancient walls of the city of Jerusalem. Yes, this is one of the oldest gates in the structure of the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And though it was an old gate, it was not neglected, nor was it dismissed as unimportant in the day of Nehemiah.
Rather, we see here how the people, they repair the old gate, and they make sure that it is a proper functioning gate. And in this we see a spirit of steadfastness among the people in the day of Nehemiah, for they repaired that which was old and ancient in the structure of the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And in this, yes, there is a tremendous lesson for all God's people also to be steadfast in the things of God. And that being so, yes, the believer may well ask the question, what am I to be steadfast in when it comes to the things of God? Well, that question, I believe, is answered for us in the other part of our text this morning in Acts chapter 2 and the verse number 42, where it says of the early New Testament church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. And here you read about the character, the manner, the steadfastness of the people, the rank and file, who are members of the early New Testament church. Yes, these words describe for us the early church in the days of Pentecost. And child of God, can I say to you in the meeting today, that if we too are to be faithful believers in our day and generation, then this testimony of steadfastness in the things of God is a testimony for you and I also to follow and to emulate in our lives as Christians. And as we would then consider this testimony of the believer's steadfastness, there are four things I want you to notice just from verse 42 here of Acts chapter 2. Notice first of all here with me that the believer is to be steadfast in doctrine. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And the word doctrine there is but another title, another reference to the Word of God. In their church life and in their personal life, the early New Testament believers, they held fast to the Word of God. They held fast to the teaching of the Word of God. And people of God, that is how it must be with you and I also. Yes, God's Word must ever have a place in our life as Christians. The Word of God is to be our rule of faith and our rule of practice in our Christian life. You think of the question that is asked in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The question is this: what rule have God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him? And the answer given is this: the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. And people, while He was here on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, He emphasized this very fact. Turn back in your Bible to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4. And here we have Christ refuting the devil in his time of temptation. And notice how He answers him, highlighting the importance and the prominence of the Word of God in the life of the Christian. No doubt teaching us as Christians also how we can refute the allurements and the temptations of the evil one. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says of Christ, and He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And there Christ highlights the value, the absolute importance of the Word of God in the life of the Christian. The Apostle Paul also was one who emphasized this great fact. When he was saying his farewell to the church at Ephesus, where he had ministered for a number of years, he said these words to them. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. He commended them to the word of God, and in turn He commended the word of God to them. And dear believer today, if you and I, yes, if we are to glorify God here on earth, And indeed, if we are to enjoy God here on earth and enjoy our Christianity here on earth, then God's Word must have a place in our lives. God's Word must have a place in our hearts. In other words, day by day, as Christians, it's vital that you and I, that we read the Scriptures daily for ourselves. It is vital that we meditate upon the Scriptures, think about what we read. It's vital also that we seek to apply the Scriptures and live out the teaching of the Word of God in our lives day by day as Christians. The psalmist could say to the Lord, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." He loved the Word of God. He thought upon it, and it was a blessing to his heart. He describes it as honey to his soul, as great riches and wealth to his heart and to his soul. And people, as we've often said from this pulpit, the best English version of the Bible for you to use as a Christian is the Authorized King James Version of the Scriptures, a version of the Scriptures that has singularly been blessed and honored and used of God in days gone by. An English translation that is most faithful to the original languages of the Hebrew of the Old Testament and the Greek of the New Testament. And people also in our witness as a church, yes, it is also vital that the preaching of the Word of God be central. We are to preach the whole counsel of God. Remember again what Paul said to the church at Ephesus. He says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And also as a church, it is vital, absolutely vital, that week by week we preach the gospel. The gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. He says, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Indeed, in every week in our regular worship service, it's absolutely vital that the gospel be preached. The gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, of God's salvation through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Dear friend, in the meeting this morning, let me say this, that if you're still not saved, you need to heed the gospel. There are messages in life that you can discount, and maybe the consequences of that will not be so great in your life, but you discount the gospel at your peril. The gospel is a message not only for you to hear, it's a message for you to heed. And the message of the gospel is this, it says, "Repent ye therefore and believe the gospel." That means you repenting of your sin, turning from your sin, confessing your sins to God, and putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God alone, to wash away your sins by his blood that he shed upon Calvary's cross. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Oh, if you're not saved today, this is the message you must heed. It's not my message. It's the message of God. It's the message of the Word of God. And friend, unless you heed the gospel, you can never know your sins forgiven. You can never be right with God. You can never be in heaven one day. And you read through the early New Testament church, and my, they made much of the gospel. And my, as a church, we must ever make much of the gospel. If we profess to be saved and we become tired of hearing the gospel, then there's something very wrong in our walk with God. Oh, it's absolutely vital as a church that we preach the gospel and proclaim the gospel week by week. For the Bible says of Christ, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And my, the early New Testament church were steadfast in the doctrines of the Word of God.
and the truth of the gospel. Notice something else here from our text today. The believer is to be steadfast. Notice it in fellowship. It says they continued steadfast in fellowship. And that word fellowship there, it means the communion of the saints. It speaks of God's people coming together for the worship of God. Now, can I say this morning there is a false worship that every Christian must avoid? And that is the fellowship of the ecumenical movement and the fellowship of the charismatic movement. The ecumenical movement promotes the false teaching of Roman Catholicism. And people, the teaching of Roman Catholicism is anti-God. It is anti-Christ. And also the worship of the charismatic movement is a worship that promotes unscriptural practices that are not in accordance with the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God regarding the manner of public worship. And my regarding such false fellowship, God's Word says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. However, within the local church assembly, it is vital that God's people meet together around the things of God. And this was the practice of the early New Testament church. Look at what you read there in Acts chapter 2 and the verse number 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You think of Saul of Tarsus. Once he was saved, what did he do? One of the first things that he did when he was saved was he joined himself together with the saints of God in Jerusalem. Turn over to Acts chapter 9 and the verse number 26. Notice what you read there about Saul of Tarsus once he was saved. Acts chapter 9 verse 26 says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. Was that joining together with the people of God? Dear believer, whenever God's house is open for public worship, you and I should do all we can to be there. You turn in your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Go down to verse number 25 of this chapter, and I encourage you, child of God, to mark this verse in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse number 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There you have a specific command to you and I who are saved, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, it says, as the manner of some is. Dear people of God, whenever we meet together with our fellow believers for worship, we encourage one another in the Lord. That's what the Bible tells us. It says, iron sharpen of iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And also when we meet together for public worship with our fellow believers, we're a witness for Christ. We're a witness to the local community that we're saved and that we're on our way to heaven. Indeed, it was said of the ungodly regarding Peter and John, it says, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And one of the reasons for this was because they were together in the things of God, in the service of God, and in the worship of God. And it was a witness to the ungodly around them in their day. Bishop J.C. Ryle said, we should always regard communion with other believers as an eminent, in other words, a vital means of grace, something not to be neglected by the people of God. The believers in the early New Testament church, they were steadfast in doctrine. They were steadfast in fellowship. Notice something else here from our text. We can say in the third place that the believer is to be steadfast. Notice it in breaking of bread. And the mention there of breaking of bread, it speaks of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's table, something that Christ has instituted for his own people to observe and adhere to. Turn in your Bible back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, and go down to verse 26 and 27 and 8 of that chapter. And here we have Christ instituting the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 26. It says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat.'" In other words, this was a command he gave to them. "Take, eat, this is my body." "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying," notice it, "drink ye all of it." Again, the command, "drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And there in the institution of the Lord's table, there's mention made of the bread and the wine of the Lord's table, and they are symbols. That's all they are. They are symbols that show the death of Christ. In other words, if you like, picture language, symbols that show the death of Christ in the wounding of his body, his sinless body, and in the shedding of his precious blood, his sinless, incorruptible blood. And the bread and the wine are but symbols of this very fact, that his body was wounded. Yes, he was wounded unto death. And his blood was shed and flowed freely from all his wounds for the redemption of his people. You think again of what Paul says regarding the institution of the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, in 1 Corinthians 11. He re-echoes there the words of Christ regarding his supper. And twice over, he says these words, quoting really the words of Christ, "This do in remembrance of me." Something they were to do, something they were to observe, something they were not to neglect. And by the early New Testament church, they were obedient to this command. For what does it say in our text today in Acts chapter 2, verse 42? It says, "They continued steadfastly," it says, "in the breaking of bread." Dear Christian, yes, when you and I live in the light of God's word and in fellowship with the Lord, we're not to neglect the Lord's table. We are to observe the Lord's table. And Christian, this is something that is vital. God has two ordinances for his church, the ordinance of baptism and the ordinance of the Lord's table. And by observing the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, what do? We show as Christians our identification with Christ. We show our dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Also, by observing the Lord's table, we are but reminding ourselves as believers of what Christ has done for us on the cross. And if we're honest, we're all prone to forget what Christ has done for us on the cross. And not only are we reminding ourselves of that great and only sacrifice for our sins, but we're also reminding ourselves as believers that one day we will partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. For does not the Lord command us to observe his table, it says, until he come? And my, when we enter into heaven, we will partake as believers of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And also, people, and this is vital as well, when we keep the Lord's table, we're a witness. And not only a witness, but a warning to the unsaved. Why do I say that? Well, if they are to partake of the Lord's Supper, if they are to be one day at the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven, then they too must be saved by trusting Christ as Savior. If the Bible says, "He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And oftentimes of church history, as I've read of God's blessing upon God's people meeting together in the Lord's table, there's often been the witness of God's people adhering to that command, meeting around the Lord's Supper, that others who could not partake have been spoken to, have been challenged, have been convicted of their sin and their lost condition. And through that, there's been a warning note sounded to their heart. And they've come to trust the Lord as their own and personal Savior, just through the witness of the Christian attending the Lord's Supper, attending the Lord's table. My speaking of the Lord's Supper, the hymn writer says these words, "Thy broken body, gracious Lord,
is shadowed by this broken bread. The wine which is this cup is poured points to the blood which thou hast shed. And when we take of the emblems of the bread and the wine, it's but a picture, it's but a sermon of the body of Christ that was wounded for us and the blood of Christ that he shed for the remission of our sins. Child of God, the Lord's table is a divinely instituted ordinance for us to observe, for us to keep until the Lord comes or until the Lord calls us home to glory. Notice one final thing here as well in our text today. In the final place, we can say, yes, that the believer is to be steadfast in prayer. Look at what you read there in the final part. It says in Acts 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly. Notice it. In prayers. And prayer there speaks of fellowship with the Lord. It speaks of communion with the Lord. And the thing to note, this was the constant mark of the early New Testament churches. You read through the book of the Acts, which is really a history account of the early church. You'll not get away from this. Here, yes, was a church that was persecuted, a church that was despised, a church that was mocked, but the thing is this, it was a praying church. The people who spent time with the Lord. Go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Notice what you read about them. It says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They were gathered together in prayer. Turn over to Acts chapter 4 and the verse number 31. It was a time of persecution. What did they do? They prayed. Acts 4, verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Turn over to Acts chapter 6 and the verse number 4. It was a time of difficulty in the church. What did they do? They prayed. Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the apostles said, but we will give ourselves continually. Notice it, a giving of themselves continually to prayer. Turn over to Acts chapter 7 and go down to verse 59. Here you have Stephen being stoned to death as the first Christian martyr. What is he doing? He's praying in his final moments. For in verse 59 of Acts chapter 7, it says, and they stoned Stephen, notice it, calling upon God. Go on over to Acts chapter 9, and you read there of the great conversion of the Apostle Paul. What's the first thing you and I read about him, who was known earlier, Saul of Tarsus? Look at verse number 11 of Acts chapter 9. It says, behold, he prayeth. He give himself to prayer. If you turn a few chapters over to Acts chapter 13, and here you read about the great expansion of their missionary enterprises for God, and when they sent forth missionaries, what did they do? They prayed in the early church. Look at verse 2 and verse 3 of Acts 13. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And this is why this was a vibrant church. It was a praying church. Despite opposition, despite persecution, it was going forward. It was taking ground for God because they were a people who believed in prayer, a people who practiced prayer. And dear people of God, the lesson there surely is very plain. If we are to follow the Bible pattern, we too must be a praying people. The Lord says men ought always to pray and not to faint. And we must be careful that we allow nothing or anyone or anything to hinder us as Christians in prayer. Turn over to Matthew's Gospel chapter 6 and encourage you, believer, mark this verse in your Bible. It will encourage you to pray. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 6, the Sermon on the Mount, how we are to live out the Christian life, and it's all about prayer. Verse 6 in Matthew chapter 6, Christ says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret,
And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He shall reward thee openly. The Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And Christian, you and I are to give ourselves to prayer. That's something that never ends in the life of the Christian. We're to give ourselves to private prayer. Husbands and wives, in our meeting this morning, I would encourage every single one of you who are Christians to pray together as husbands and wives. Parents, those of your Christian parents in the meeting this morning, I encourage you to pray with your children. Gather your children around you and pray with them and teach them to pray. And then we should do all we can as Christians to be at the public seasons of prayer, the midweek prayer meeting and other public times of prayer that are scheduled for us, where we pray for the work of God at home here, and not only at home here, but farther afield. And Christian, all through the Word of God, the Lord gives you and I tremendous encouragements, one after another to pray. Turn back there to John's Gospel, chapter 14, and I'll just mention two verses here in particular. You mark them in your Bible. It will encourage you, Christian, to pray privately, pray in the home with your family, and to come to the public prayer meeting and to pray and to enter into the spirit of prayer. John chapter 14, look at the words of Christ in verses 13 and verses 14. He says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And all through the Scriptures, you have one encouragement after another to pray. Speaking about prayer, Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, said, "Prayer is a strong wall and fortress of the church. It is the goodly Christian's weapon." He knew the value, the importance of prayer. Dear people of God, this morning in this age when many are departing from the ways of God and falling away from the things of God, by God's grace, by God's strength, may you and I as believers be those, as it says in our text this morning, who continue. Continue steadfastly, it says there, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and prayers. Oh, may this be our testimony to Christ comes, or Christ calls us home to glory. We'll conclude our service this morning by singing together the hymn number 619 in your hymn book. 619, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like that, like to that above." The hymn number 619 and the page 426. We'll stand as we sing. Let us stand as we sing.
Our Father.
Our Father and our God, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy presence in our gathering this morning. We thank Thee, Father, for help given in the ministry of Thy precious Word. Write the truths of Thy Word upon our hearts. And help us, Lord, to be a people who continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Realize, O God, we have not the strength to do this in our own, for vain is the help of man. But, Father, we pray by the quickening power of God the Holy Spirit, by the great well of Thy grace, we pray, help us day by day to hold fast to Thee, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, to hold fast to the old paths of Thy Word, that we might be a witness, Lord, for Thee. And for any, Lord, in our gathering today, Lord, not saved, speak to them. And, Father, today may they repent and believe the gospel, choose Christ as their own and personal Savior, and be saved for time and all of eternity. Answer prayer. Take us now to our homes and safely bless us throughout this day. Remember the final meeting of the mission this afternoon. Pour out Thy Spirit and save precious, never dying souls, we ask in our Savior's name. Amen.